Hello, I am Jamie as normal. I'm here today with two special guests, two Stonemaier Games ambassadors who expressed an interest in, just coincidentally, the same topic, my favorite cooperative games, or our favorite cooperative games. So, David, Brennan, why don't you introduce yourself in that order? David?
Hello, I'm David. I'm out here in Atlanta, Georgia. Been playing board games for quite a while now, and cooperative games are actually what drew me into the more complex, modern-style games of what we see today.
And hi, everyone. I'm Brennan. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I'm a Stonemaier ambassador, champion, and Atoma playtester as well.
So cooperative games are something that I talked about on this channel in almost probably five other videos at this point. It's a genre that I really appreciate, admire. I'm working on a cooperative game, so I think about them a lot. And I asked ambassadors recently if there are any topics that they wanted me to revisit and that they might even want to participate in a video about it. And both Brennan and David independently said that they were excited about cooperative games. So before we jump in, I'd love to hear from each of you in general. What is it that made you say you wanted to be a part of a cooperative games video? What excites you about this genre of games? Brennan, why don't we go with you first here?
Sure. Well, I knew that I could make at least a top 10 of cooperative games. So that was probably my first criteria. And I don't know, I've just always been drawn to cooperative games. I really like just the cooperating nature and everyone working together on the same puzzle. I think it works really well in a game atmosphere.
What about you, David?
Yeah. Well, it's a little more easy for me. I mean, I have a wife. And to get her to play games with me usually requires us to play cooperative. I have a very competitive nature, so it can be pretty intense if I play competitive games. And so I like people playing with me. So therefore, I started bringing cooperative games to the table. But I do find that they are, it's just really enjoyable to not get some of that take that kind of mechanic sometimes and actually, you know, be able to like conquer, you know, together. I think that's probably why D&D has been such a resurgence right now. But, you know, that's kind of the direction for me.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you're both excited about this genre of games, and I am too. And so let's start out with your fellow ambassadors pick some games. I am highlighting games that were mentioned by more than one ambassador here. So multiple people mentioned these. In alphabetical order, we have Anne's End, Arkham Horror LCG, Cthulhu Death May Die, Gloomhaven / Frosthaven, which I didn't combine those two. I noticed a lot of ambassadors just combine them into the same game, essentially, at this point. Horrified, Mansions of Madness, Marvel Champions, Marvel Legendary, Marvel United, Mechs vs. Minions, Pandemic, Pandemic Legacy, Role Player Adventures, Sleeping Gods, So Clover, Spirit Island, The Crew, Too Many Bones, and Zombicide. That list, I would say, is longer than normal. Usually, ambassadors are picking a lot of random games all over the place, but this, a lot of duplicates here on this list. So let's roll into our honorable mentions. We did a pretty tight list here, three games each, which was very tough for me to do. Usually, I do 10. Brennan, you mentioned you're going to do at least 10. David, you probably have 10 on your shelf behind you there. So we had to narrow it down to three. So I'm sure we have some honorable mentions. David, why don't you share your honorable mentions first?
Yeah, this was it's really hard. This was so hard because there's some games that I'm really excited about that I haven't actually got to play a lot. Like I have ISS Vanguard sitting on my table right now because I'm literally just trying to get into that. I just don't have enough time in the day to play games that I'd like to. But yeah. Let's go to the honorable mentions. So even that was a freebie. Sorry. I would say Massive Darkness 2 is an honorable mention because it's one of the best one-shot dungeon crawlers in the market. There's so much content, endless replayability, and asymmetric classes are just endlessly fun and interesting. Then moving on from that, I would say Marvel United is an honorable mention, even though it's very popular with my friends as well. It's fast, under an hour to play a game usually, easy to set up and teach, you know, great entry for non-gamers, challenging but never feels impossible, also kind of important. And there's so many variations, and I mean, come on, guys, you get to play as your favorite superhero, so what's not to like about that? And then last, this is a little bit different than a lot of things I probably play, but 5-Minute Dungeon, if you haven't heard of that, it's a real-time card game dungeon boss battler. So fun. I literally force new gamers to play it. I strap them in, be like, you're going to play this. but the cards are clear, easy to understand. Like it scales so well. I mean, and even as a newbie, like, you know, when you're playing your first boss, you know, it's like, you can just barely win, even though if you played through it a lot, you come back like, oh, this is easy now. So I don't know if the replayability is super strong there, but it's just, I mean, every time I have a new person, I love playing it. But if I have a bunch of people together playing it, then I'm like, So that kind of like knocks it down into more of an honorable mention.
Awesome. What about you, Brennan?
I just have a couple of games that's similar to David. Most of my honorable mentions were some that I just haven't played enough, or I'm in the middle of a campaign, as you'll see. But I would say The Mind, I would say Sleeping Gods, Pandemic, but specifically the Legacy version. I'm almost done with season one. Exit escape room games I find really fascinating. We recently did the Advent calendar this year, which was super fun. And then Paleo was really close to making my list. I love the exploration in that game. So yeah, those are my honorable mentions.
And then I included the two. So Stonemaier games, we have Cooperative Modes and Wingspan and Scythe, but I don't think they're used very often. Some people don't even know they're there. But we do have, I have Smitten, little two-player and solo cooperative game that I designed, because like David, Megan and I are competitive, but we like cooperating often when we're playing just the two of us. So designed Smitten for us to play. And then there is, of course, Viticulture World, the cooperative expansion for Viticulture, inspired partially by the Orleans invasion expansion for Orleans that made Orleans cooperative. And then I also put Horrified, Just One, and Time Stories. And Time Stories probably, if we were doing this 5 years ago, definitely would have been in my top three, but they haven't really done anything new with it for quite some time. They may not be doing anything, but I love Time Stories. And yeah, so a couple years ago, it would have been on the list.
Yeah, and so I'll preface that. No, sorry, yeah. I interrupted. I said, I will preface that all the things that I've been doing are designed to be cooperative from the beginning. So like no expansions were included in any of my things.
Okay.
Because I do love, like Smitten, and Smitten is definitely one that I forgot about that's on my shelf. So.
Well, let's jump in. Brennan, why don't you share your number three and what you love about it?
So this probably wouldn't actually make my top like three cooperative games, but I have to pick Just One as my number three. It works well with so many different groups. I've played it with my grandparents, my parents, people that don't even like board games. And it just gets to the table at every single party that I go to. I gave it to two family members as Christmas gifts this year because they asked for it. It just works unbelievably well as a party game. And it's one of those games where each round is like a minute or so, and there's no like set number of rounds you have to play as. So it can just go for hours and hours and hours. And yeah. So that's why I just won my number three.
I think it's one of the funniest games too, that you can get to the table. Yeah.
For sure. I should be a salesman for that, just like you, because anytime I'm in a big group, it seems like that's the case for, it's like, I got to go buy that. I'm like, all right, where's my commission? Dang.
Yeah.
David, what about your number three?
Sure. Okay. So my number three is actually Pandemic Legacy. So I have zero here because I've gone through one, two, and now this is the latest one. I think zero is probably the most interesting of all of them. I think like they've just upped the game, but it's oddly enough, I wouldn't recommend people start there. I'd say start with season one because it's the most like Pandemic. And it's just like, for me, Legacy season one was the first Legacy experience I ever had. It, to me, the only way I can explain that is like, it's like watching Matrix for the first time. It like totally blew my mind. Like, and no one was doing it. And they just, it just kind of like entered me into this whole thing. The immersive story is so well done with such little text, which is really hard to do in games. They did such a good job with that. So you could really keep you engaged. It was so clear to see the effects you made in the game based on what you chose to do or not do in any given month of the game. And there was a huge twist reveal that I did not even see coming. It was just like playing a movie. Like you were just emotionally involved and it kind of just gripped you. It's easy to get to the table and my wife enjoyed it, which is always a plus. And it's probably the most approachable campaign game for non-gamers, especially if they have any, you know, since Pandemic is so popular as kind of like an entryway gamer these days. So that's why this is probably my number three right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I've played through all three. And I like how distinctly different each of the Pandemic Legacies feel and how they evolve certain systems from game to game too. Like there was, I can't remember exactly what it is, but in season zero, they did something different with how you fail forward. Like if you lose a month or not, that I really appreciated. That was like the one hang up that I had about the previous ones. I'm glad they looked at that.
Yeah. Instead of just like losing twice, and then, oh, we're just gonna move forward to the next month.
Right, exactly.
Right. Also, to you know, now that Ticket to Ride is doing a legacy game, That looks something to check out, look out for another entry level type legacy. So
yeah, I'm curious about that one.
Bonus points.
So my camera continues to be out of focus for a reason I don't know. So, but I'll hold something up to the camera. So my number three is Mysterium Park. So I love cooperative games with a player driven puzzle, and especially if there's limited communication. And in Mysterium Park, I think it works thematically and mechanically, where one player has essentially been murdered. They represent a ghost or spirit, and they are trying to communicate through images, basically who didn't do it, to the other players and where they didn't commit the murder. And then you use process of elimination to, based on those clues, to decide who did commit the murder and where it happened. It's based on Mysterium, but I think this version is much easier to set up, much faster gets to the table. Not that length was really a problem with the original Mysterium, except for the setup. The setup was a bit of a beast. You lose the giant screen in Mysterium Park, which was great, but I think the setup in this game makes up for it. I love getting to the table. Have either of you played this one or played the original Mysterium?
Played the original. I haven't played that one, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, I have played both, and I think Mysterium Park, the setup and like how it's executed, is so much better than the original.
Yeah, I like that they made both of them. I like that both exist. But
yeah, for sure.
Brennan, what about your number two?
Okay, so my number two is a game called Decorum by Floodgate Games. In Decorum, you get like a scenario and you are decorating a house together. And each person has a different requirement for what the house wants to be, whether it be a paint color in the kitchen or different items in the kitchen. And you can't talk, but each round you can add or take away items. And at different intervals in the game, you can have what's called heart to heart, where you like reveal one of your clues to the other people. And I like that slow reveal of information, as well as the scenarios in the box. They're interwoven in such a unique way that like after you are done with the puzzle, you're like, oh wow, like I did this because of this. And it's just, it's a perfect logic game. I play it with my wife a lot. It goes up to four, but the two-player mode is really, really good. And then there's like a different mode for three and four. I like it at that as well, but the two-player is where it shines for me.
That's good to know that it plays so well at two players.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's been on my list, so it's great to know that it plays so good at two, because I think my wife would really like that. It's like you're seeing like there's like a trend in a lot of things I'm saying.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I play a lot by myself, I guess. But no, I'm just kidding.
What about your number two, David?
My turn. Okay. Yeah. So people might not think this is a popular number two, but for me, it's actually Zombicide. This, first of all, like this was the original series is what kind of got me into board gaming, and because I just saw like the potential where it goes. What I like about Zombicide in general is that there is a genre for everyone now. I mean, there's Western, there's like modern, there's fantasy, there's, you know, futuristic, aliens, whatever. And that's really cool. So like there's something for everyone there. But it's so simple to teach. I mean, when I get it set up, I can literally start playing and just teach on the fly because it's just that easy. And that's pretty cool. The sandbox element is also something that's really important to me. It's just endless creativity. I mean, depending on who I'm playing with, like I can make games shorter, longer, easier, harder. I mean, I know it comes with scenarios that you can set up, but I rarely use them. I usually just set it up however I want because I just know the game so well that I can just kind of like figure out what I want to do with it. And a great example is like the experiences that it brings to the table. You know, I went to a CMON Expo back, you know, quite a few years ago. And they did these like game nights with Zombicide, and they had like two different games set up on different tables, but they're connected. So you're like on teams. And then they had like all these little things where you could like teleport over to the other board on the other table and you can play and, you know, and they had one GM kind of person that's walking around kind of like managing it and kind of like would slip stuff to people randomly. And it was just such a cool experience. And I was like, it just blew my mind. I was like, wow, I could like, you can do anything with this. And so the reason I choose second edition, just to kind of move on to that, really when they started adding the expansions, like the Fort Hendrix and some of those things, they have, there's one element, this mechanic of, they lay these cards down on the board that when you interact with them, you flip them over and it like furthers the story. it's such a simple idea, but it like it really immerses you into a game even more than just gotta find an exit, get to an exit or something. You know what I mean? Like there's like actual elements that can like pop, you know, be really bad for you or really good for you. And it's so fun that I've actually, when I play with people now, I usually just pull a random one scenario out of a campaign and just set up that way, just because it's like every person's always like, wow, this is so much more fun than I thought. So so Zombies side has a heart, close heart thing to my heart, and that's why it's number two.
That's one that I still need to play. Somehow it's evaded my entire group. I don't think I know anyone in my group who's played this, so I need to get that to the table. Brendan, have you played Zombicide?
I haven't. I typically am like the main like heavy gamer of my group. So to pick up a game like that, I feel like it would intimidate a lot of them with just the amount of minis and everything. But I would love to try it at some point.
Oh, it's so easy. Like, I mean, like it looks so intimidating, not like Scythe looks intimidating when you set it up, because there's so many things, but because it's like, once you start playing, it just makes so much sense. Like, it's just like really thematically makes sense. That's how I feel like Zombicide. It's like, once you just have it set up and you actually just say, you're just doing three things and you're either shooting or moving, you know what I mean? Or like, it's like, it just, people like end up having a blast. It's like, wow, I can like take all my aggression out and kill things. You know, even though it's like a bunch of the most passive people that ever sit at your table, they become zombie killers all of a sudden. So no, it's great.
Awesome. Well, I have one on the opposite end of the spectrum, but it's kind of a sequel to what Brennan talked about as his number three. And that is So Clover. So Clover is the follow-up to Just One. And for a while, I probably would have picked Just One over So Clover, and I would gladly get either of them to the table. But So Clover scratches a very similar itch to Just One in that, in both games, but I'll talk about So Clover specifically, you get to interact with both sides of a puzzle. You're giving clues, and you get to feel clever when you're giving clues. In So Clover, you're giving clues based on cards that are on your four-leaf clover hill here. But you're also on the other side where cooperatively, when someone else reveals their clues, you are trying to piece together that puzzle and figure out what they were talking about, what they were thinking about when they give those clues. I really like interacting with both of those sides of the puzzle in a player-driven puzzle cooperative game. And So Clover is just, I don't know, I like feeling clever in both of those ways. And I like feeling sometimes a little stumped in both ways when you're really trying to figure out, what did your friend mean when they wrote down this clue? I've had a blast with both of them. So Clover currently is my number two favorite cooperative game.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That sounds very fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really good. David, why don't we go to you for your number one favorite cooperative game right now? I know this could change over time, but right now, what is it for you?
So it's a little early. I've only been playing this game for 6 months now. but Frosthaven, gosh, it's such a beast. I just need to move this. Let's see if it'll balance on top of this. There we go. Frosthaven. So I played just quick backstory. I played Gloomhaven and the Forgotten Circles expansion all together. That game took me and three other guys almost 4 years to complete. And it's playing roughly twice a month. So it's not like we had a ton of game nights, you know, to do it. And there was a whole pandemic. I don't know if you heard about that, but there was a thing. but we finished that and I went right into Frosthaven because it pretty much arrived about the time we finished Gloomhaven. Yeah. So it was like good timing. But the reason I like it so much is it's a crunchy Euro dungeon crawler. I mean, it's more about efficiency and puzzle solving than just like, you know, rolling dice, which is kind of the complete opposite of Zombicide, you know, and exactly, you know what I mean? But it's so heavy and so like meaty, you know, building a town, you know, in this mixing herbs, create potions, leveling up characters, retiring characters, exploring a branching narrative. It's like, there's nothing like it. Like, there's a lot of elements of it in other things, obviously. But right. The way that it combines its card playing and everything else is just really like, it's a brain burner a lot of times when you're trying to like, man, I want to just kill everything, but I got to do this thing and I got to do it in a certain way. And, you know, I also really consider it like the best value of any game I've ever played. I mean, the amount of times I've gotten these to the table has far exceeded anything else in my collection just because of the commitment. Like, I mean, I had to get guys to be like, all right, we're going to play this, but we kind of have to have a commitment. So that's a downside, right? Because you have to have people willing to commit. Because like my brother bought Gloomhaven and he never got to the table and had to sell it because no one was going to play with him. So, Frosthaven, also improved on everything over Gloomhaven, which you know, they just announced that they're doing the second edition of Gloomhaven, which is basically an entire new game, which is fine. I'm not going to ever play that, I guarantee it. But but great, good for people who've never played Gloomhaven. But it's just, I mean, anything that like I could have been like, I kind of wish there was a little bit more. Like Frosthaven has delivered that, you know, in spades. Like it's been amazing. So highly recommend it if you have, you know, people that you can play with. But it is a time consumer, so it does keep me from playing a lot of their games that I want to play. So
that's awesome. I'm glad that's brought you joy. Yeah. Brennan, what is your number one?
Okay, so David already mentioned it in his honorable mentions, but my number one is Marvel United. I was just thinking about it, and it is like the number one game I want to play right now. Like every time I think about like a game night or anything, I have to like stop myself from pulling out Marvel United. it's just the fact that there's like, it's so plug and play. There's hundreds of characters, dozens of villains you can go up against. And there's not like tons of differences between them, but it just feels good to be like, okay, I'm playing Spider-Man. What does Spider-Man do? Oh, you're playing with Groot. Oh my gosh. Oh, Groot does this with Spider-Man. Oh, that's so cool. And it's just, it is so simple, and it also probably has my favorite cooperative like mechanism. Basically, on your turn, you play a card with symbols on it, and not only do you get your symbols, you get the previous person's symbols as well, which I just think is such an elegant way to cooperate with everyone, because it's like it kind of resolves the quarterbacking issue, because it's like, okay, I see that David needs this, I also need this, but David's going to get it as well. And then he's thinking the same thing on his turn. And it's just, oh man, every time I play this, even if I lose or win, I have such a fun time. And yeah, so Marvel United is my number one game.
Awesome.
Did you back all of the United Kickstarters, including the multiverse one?
So I got into it a little bit late, and I just got like the base games, so the X-Men and the Marvel United, and then I backed like the core pledge of the new season and the Sinister Six stuff, because I can't wait to do all that.
Yep. I backed the first two, but didn't back the third because I was like, this is too much. Like,
oh, no, way too much.
I was like, so I think you did the right thing.
Yeah.
I played the X-Men version. A friend got that and was really, really excited about it.
I will say that I think the X-Men added the option of playing like an additional player to be like the bad guy, and everyone played against it. And that was surprisingly really clean. It didn't feel like an added on mechanic just for like, we're just do something different. And people, I mean, they really enjoyed it, just being evil and losing or winning, mostly losing.
It's definitely like a masterclass on like simple mechanisms, and then how far can we push it? And they pushed it so much further than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great picks. I like both of those picks. Mine is maybe a little bit more similar to David's. It is role player adventures. A lot of my favorite campaign games are also cooperative, and role player adventures is my favorite of those cooperative campaign games. I have a whole video about the things that I truly love about this game, but a few highlights are, I love how the campaign builds to a great climax at the end that looks back at many of the things that you've done. There's so many consequences in this game that pay off later, or at least have meaning later in the campaign. And just the puzzle of it, I find really satisfying. It's a dice placement puzzle where you're trying to manipulate and gain more dice and then place them to solve a variety of different skill tests that want different types of dice and different combinations. But even though it is luck driven because of the dice, you have so much control over those dice, and because they're tied to where you place them instead of a random outcome. I really appreciate that. And each scenario, I just love the scenario design in this game, how it's a storybook, not exactly a storybook, but it's a storybook that you put on the table that shows a different map or different image that you're playing for that scenario. I guess a little bit like how Jaws of the Lion did it, but not quite as spatial as Jaws of the Lion. But I like how each scenario was designed in a different way. And it has fail forward. Like everything you do, you're never repeating a scenario in this game. You are dealing with the consequences of what happened, of your choices, and then you're moving on with those consequences to do the next thing. So it has so many things that I love about cooperative games. and many more things that I haven't mentioned here. Have either of you played? Oh, and it has an expansion coming out that I'm really, really excited about to further this campaign. Have either of you played Role Player Adventures?
I have not got to play it. There's Role Player, which is very fun, and obviously you can use those characters that you build out to play that, which I find so fascinating. And so it's like on my, it's like a, I have a dream list of games because there's just too many like bigger box games that I'm like, I'm bringing these to the table. And then there's like new things, right, that are constantly coming out that I'm like, ah, man, like I have to like just stop and like assess and become like just a collector of boxes instead of actually playing games.
Well, that's really one of the things I liked about Role Player Adventures. Like I appreciate the games like Frosthaven that have, you know, 100 scenarios, but I like that this one, I think it was around maybe 10 chapters to get through a campaign. And so it felt realistic that we could finish the thing that we started, because there's no game that I'm going to play 100 times, but I can play a game 10 times with Megan or with friends. So, So I love hearing your picks. In fact, I need to take notes about your final picks here in a second. But while I do that, let me know if you have any cooperative games or expansions to games, cooperative games that you are really excited about that are coming out in the future. Brennan, do you have any on your mind that you're excited about?
Yeah. I mean, I if it counts, I would say Role Player Adventures and the, I want to play through the Sleeping Gods sequel when it comes out and like the Pandemic Legacies. I've only gotten through one. So 2 and 0, I hear, like both of you have said, it just gets better, so I'm really excited for those. I'm excited for the Clank Legacy 2 because I've heard that there's some cooperative elements. I don't really know much about it, but that intrigues me. Clank's one of my favorite games ever, so I'm super excited about that. And then the Unmatched Adventures that was recently on Kickstarter, the Tales to Amaze. Unmatched is one of my favorite games, and I'm super excited for the cooperative version.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. I totally hear you on that, because one thing that launched today, which or whenever this airs, you know, in the past now, is the Stalker board game by Awakened Realms. They just launched. It's based on an old video game that is actually, I think Fallout actually took a lot of ideas from it. That's how old it is. But I played it. I mean, I played some games back from there. But you know, it is what it is. But this game like is more, it's kind of like a stealth kind of driven game, but it also has episode box for its campaigns, which I find very interesting. Similar to like Cthulhu Death May Die, which I do love that too. It should have been an honorable mention as well. But I can only have so many. but then like, Jamie, kind of like what you mentioned with like the campaign, each campaign, it comes with 3 different campaigns in the core game, and they're about 10 to 12 hours per campaign, which makes it much more like, I don't know. It's like, you don't have to commit as long to those, I guess, to some degree. So I think that's really exciting. There's an upgrade expansion for, an upgrade and expansion for Stars of Icarus, by Games, which I think they're changing the names, I'm not sure. And that's supposed to be like Gloomhaven in space is what they said the original was about. So there's a lot of issues with the first edition. So like, they're supposed to have all that fixed in this, when that's supposed to launch on a campaign somewhere this next month or two. So I'm really excited about that as well. You know, I think in the Zombicide had the White Death, which came out. I'm mildly excited about that. I wouldn't say I'm that excited about it, to be honest, just because I have so much Zombicide that there's only small things about it that I find interesting. They'll be bringing that campaign element that I like in the modern to the fantasy, which will be cool. And think of the cooperatives. Oh, Iridia! How could I forget that? Man, I'm huge fan of you know, Zia and all just what forgot his name. Cody? I can't think of his name right now. Yes, Cody. Thank you. I'm such a big fan of him and his family and like just the way he conducts himself and the way he really spends time on these games to really make them really good. And I can't be more excited about Iridia. It's going to be probably one of my favorite, you know, big cooperative games coming down the pipe as well. But that's been in the works for a while, so it's still cooking, but it should be done soon.
Yeah. You both have mentioned a lot of the games that I'm excited about. I'm excited about Iridia, the Clank 2, which I think, Brennan, Clank 1 was not fully cooperative, but ended up feeling fully cooperative. But I think Clank 2 is fully cooperative.
Oh.
They made that change, yeah. The Tidal Blades campaign looks beautiful. I'm really excited about that. Yeah. And Sleeping Gods. I love Sleeping Gods. Almost made my list. I'm pretty based on what I've read about the new one, I'm really, really excited. And then one non-campaign game, I like Tranquility for kind of a... Tranquility is a game that is, it's a little bit like The Mind, but with a spatial element. And there's Tranquility the Ascent, which I backed, feels like years ago now. I'm in no rush, but I am excited to get into the table when it finally comes out. So that's one non-campaign game that I'm excited to get to the table. That
is cool. And I was also going to mention, I'm very excited for the open world game that you're working on. But again, it's no rush on that.
It's taken a lot longer than I thought, but I am still working on it. Pretty much every day I get some design time on it. And my goal is to finish the design by the end of this year and then hopefully release it probably early 2025, maybe late 2024. We'll see. But it's
were there any teasers on that?
I haven't teased much about it yet because I've been so afraid that I might tease something and then completely change it. And so once I am 100% about certain mechanisms, I'll start to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, Sleeping God is one that I'm like, it's one of those dream games that I've been wanting to play. I've never had a chance to yet either. So, I mean, people that play that I know are just like, it's their favorite game. So it's like hard because, you know, Ryan does such a great job with some of his games too. I helped him play test some of his past older games. And I'm like, why didn't you let me play test this one? But you know, it's fine. I'm not bitter. So no, that's exciting.
Well, I loved hearing your perspectives on a pretty good variety of games today, from the honorable mentions to your picks. I have them noted here so I can note it in the description below. I'd love to hear, for anyone watching this, if you have a favorite among the games that we talked about or your top three cooperative games, I'd love to hear about them in the comments and why you love them and why you're drawn to cooperative games. I loved hearing your answers about that as well. So thank you both, Jamie, for your time. Yeah.
Was there an Ambassador overall top cooperative game?
Let me look at the list. I know that Sleeping Gods was mentioned a bunch of times. Pandemic and Pandemic Legacy were both mentioned a bunch of times. I think those were probably the top two, looking over here. Yeah, I think those were the top two picked from Stonemaier Ambassadors. Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Sorry. That's something that sounded interesting that I'd be interested in. Yeah. So thanks.
Oh, and Spirit Island was picked a bunch of times too. I think that fits into like the Euro style of a lot of Stonemaier games, but cooperatively.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, thank you both for your time. I really, really appreciate hearing your thoughts on cooperative games. It's always fun to revisit this genre. And I look forward to seeing it grow in the coming years with some exciting new releases. Oh, Seventh Citadel. I didn't even mention that. Seventh Continent has their sequel, Seventh Citadel. I'm excited about that whenever they're ready to release it.
Yeah. I backed that. I forgot.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I hope you both have a great day. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jamie. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it.